teacher for many, many years, Stephen Tierney. Stephen is an ordained Soto Zen priest in the tradition of Suzuki Roshi, who was the founder of the San Francisco Zen Center and Green Gulch and Tassajara. Stephen's been practicing for many, many years and has been our core teacher here for about a decade, I think it is now. And so it's great to have you, Stephen, and for you to be here with us. Welcome. You're mute.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
That might have been the best talk ever. good to see you all. I want to start out tonight reading you just a short prayer from the Zen lineage, and it's called the Bodhisattva Prayer for Humanity. May I be a guard for those who need protection, a guide for those on the path, a boat, a raft, a bridge for those who wish to cross the flood. May I be a lamp in the darkness, a resting place for the weary, a healing medicine for all who are sick, a vase of plenty, a tree of miracles, and for the boundless multitudes of living beings, may I bring sustenance and awakening, enduring like the earth and sky until all beings are freed from sorrow and all are awakened. And so, you know, I was thinking about the world we live in and you know, us as a special community of LGBTQI Buddhists and folks interested in meditation. And I was looking for some thoughts, and I found a quote by Joan Halifax, a Roshi at the Upaya Center. And she says, a teacher, that is, she says that as Buddhists, we share a common aspiration to awaken from suffering. And I thought, wow, that's kind of an amazing thing. You know, the teaching in Buddhism is this would not be a small self. It wouldn't be about awakening myself, or at least particularly for those of us in Zen practice and for many other traditions as well. But the Bodhisattva prayer, which I just read, and that particular understanding of Buddhism says that we do this together, so that we have to be about the business of sharing the suffering of the world and sharing the ease, the elimination of that suffering. And so Pema Chodron refers to it as we are all transitional beings, neither fully caught nor fully free. We are beings in the process of awakening, says Pema Chodron. And if I'm in the process of becoming awakened, I cannot feel fully doomed nor fully awakened. My journey. Rather, I am creating a future with every word I speak, every action I take, and every thought that emanates through and from me. I need to learn to be at peace with this in-process quality of my life. And so I was thinking about, you know, a lot about that. And, you know, I'm going to spare us all the list of plagues and pestilence that have been affecting all of us in our country, and particularly those of us in California, some parts of the state way more than others. But the fact of the matter is that we find ourselves in this place where we get to make a decision about how we're going to live as... park right out front. So we get to make a decision about how we're going to live and how we're going to live together and how we're going to work together as Buddhists and members of the LGBTQ community to create a world in which suffering is indeed recognized and we accept and recognize our capacity to reduce and eliminate suffering. So as we think about this, it sounds a little bit this Bodhisattva business and Joan Halifax is saying that we share a common aspiration for the awakening of suffering. And it sounds a little bit like hope, like we have some hope that things will get better. And surely nobody could be living in California in September of 2020 and not think things must, things will get better, they have to get better, they can't stay the same. But in Buddhism, in our spiritual practice, you know, we're a little weary of thinking about hope. It's not a word that gets used a lot in Buddhism, although Joan teaches about wise hope, which is a concept that makes sense for those of us and many of you who have heard about it. But Pema Chodron, in teaching about hope, says to be careful that hope and regret can both be hiding places that keep us from the actual business of living fully in this present moment and living in this present moment. So hope and regret can just distract us from the present moment. By definition, of course, hope would be in the future. So it seems to me that as Buddhists, we can try to live with acceptance. This is the life we have is the one we have today. And so that's a good thing. Hope can possibly mean wanting things to be different than they are today. And it seems to me like that if I was going to side with one of the two teachers, I would side with Joan, that I want to be engaged in the notion that things will be different than they are today. That the air quality will clear up, that we will in fact make great deep inroads to overturning the racial injustices of the country. That our medical healthcare system will respond to this virus and other viruses in ways that are filled with equality and equal access for everybody. So I think the first step is acceptance, and then the second step is equanimity, it seems to me. So it's equanimity is not like a feeling, but it's a state of consciousness or realization about reality's transition. So it's not like we're afraid that things won't change or will change, it's that we know they will. Everything has the power to arise, everything abides for a period of time, and everything has the power to decline or to cease or go away. And that includes everybody and everything that we know and love, as the other affirmation says. Things are of a nature to change, and I cannot live beyond the scope of change. Everything I know and care about will transition and change in some way. And so that's just the reality of life. And if we know that, and if we accept that, we have this opportunity to say, okay, so now what can we do with that? In his book called Unsubscribe, John Corder says, this doesn't mean taking a spiritual bypass, allowing or acting as if we could sidestep difficult feelings or phenomenons. We need to be able to sit with and hold even the things that are difficult. It's not that we're above it all, it's that as Buddhists, we are truly with it all. And so, you know, then it's like, well, that could be exhausting. That's a lot to take on, is all the stuff that goes on in the world in any year. And then certainly as it has been, elaborated and enunciated into 2020. And so what tools do we have as Buddhists to think about that? And one of the teachings that I think is particularly wonderful is the Buddha taught the four immeasurables, or what we call the Brahmaviharas. And these, he said, were the four great virtues that if we want to live as Buddhas, and if we want to live as Buddhas and ancestors, these are the things we should cultivate within ourselves. And one of the most wonderful teachings about Buddhism, and I shared it here a few months ago, so I won't read any of it, but there's a sutra called the Ehe Koho Hatsugaman. And that teaching says a number of things that are wonderful, most of which is that it's from the days of Dogen, who's the founder of Buddhism, Soto Buddhism as we know it. And the teaching is that the ancestors of the Buddhas of the past were normal people just like you and me, each one of us on this call today. And they were people that tried to do the best they could and that understood from the very teaching of the historic Buddha that Buddhism wasn't about perfection. It wasn't about reading the right things and passing some exam. It was about passing what we know about Buddhism from one person to the next. And so that teaching, the Koso Hatsugaman, says that those who in the past were not enlightened will now be enlightened. And in the future, when people are looking for the Buddhas and ancestors, they're going to be looking right here like we're looking right now. And so that becomes really powerful. It's like, so what is it? You know, if we say that, you know, we are creating our lives by what we say, what we think, and the actions that we take, then what can those be? And so those four Brahmaviharas are really wonderful teachings of the Buddha. The first one is loving kindness, or love, friendliness, and it's metta. And it's most recently been translated many times as simple kindness. You know, the Dalai Lama himself said, when asked what his religion was, he said kindness. And think of the many ways right now that each of you has exhibited kindness during the course of 2020. Reaching out to just ask somebody if they're okay, to see how somebody's feeling, to see if somebody needs something. Just those basic ways of saying that nobody is going through this alone, that we're all here as a community. And I know myself and this community of people in this talk today, that has been the case for many of us. The second one is compassion, which is karuna. And compassion is just taking that to a deeper level, to really having a kalyanamita, to being good spiritual friends, to being good friends in relationship, good friends, good members of your family, good members of your communities, and really deeply understanding that people always need to be seen, need to be visible, and need to be believed. And that's a lot of what the Black Lives Matter movement is about, I think, in our country right now, is people saying, we very, very definitely need to be seen and need to be visible. And most importantly, we need to be believed when we say it is unbearable to live constantly in a state of stress and anxiety and depression, that people need to hear that, and not just periodically, but all the time. And it takes a level of compassion for all parties involved to come and move towards that greater understanding. The third is mudita, which is being translated these days as appreciative or empathetic joy. So that means that we're happy for those who have beautiful places on the coast of that beautiful water in New Jersey, or who are in places that where the air quality is good or whatever, are in homes with good air filtration systems, whatever it is, we're happy for them. We don't have the sense that, boy, I wish I had that, or even the negative self-talk about if I had planned better, I would have some of that, or I'd have some place to go. We have genuine appreciative joy for the well-being and the lives of others. And that's a deep practice. And then all of those lead to and are propped up by the notion of equanimity, that we know that everybody has good days, and everybody has days that are not so good, that are difficult, and everybody knows that those days will pass and be replaced by other days that will either be good or challenging. And that by being together, by being transitional folks in the path of awakening, we have this opportunity to really think about and to practice with this capacity we have as human beings, as members of the LGBT community, and as Buddhists, to really do things differently, to not be wishing that we could go back to the way things were, but to really have a beautiful, open-hearted spirit about things being new and different. That, you know, this new day that's coming each day gives us a chance to do that. And so, you know, the idea is an idea that it could be exhausting, as I mentioned. If as a Buddhist, there are 2,500 years of teachings that we should think about or know about, perhaps. There are forms and practices in whichever lineage one happens to be practicing in that you should know. There are ways to enter a room, ways to sit, all that stuff. And then when we think about engaged Buddhism, there are also ways that we should be caring for one another and caring for ourselves and so forth. And so I think, as I mentioned, the Dalai Lama says his religion is just kindness, to be kind to himself and then to be kind to others, and all the rest of it will fall in place. So the answer that I've been working with lately for myself is that my religion is sort of a Buddhist humanism. And I think it's not much different than what the Dalai Lama is saying. But sometimes taking refuge can feel like that I'm pulling away. If I take refuge in the Buddha, refuge in the Dharma, refuge in the Sangha, that, you know, there's a little bit of me that thinks that I'm stepping aside. Like I said before, maybe a spiritual bypass, that it could be that things going on in the world are just a little bit too difficult. And so I can use this particular season that we're in to be alone in my apartment with my spiritual practice and not have to really be, you know, in the past 5 days or 10 days, we couldn't get out, couldn't be of any use to anybody necessarily. And so You know, how do we find a way to say that I'm not sidestepping my responsibility? We don't distance ourselves to stay, you know, on the other side. We distance ourselves to stay away from what's going on right now, unless in some cases people are doing that, like monks in a monastery and monks and nuns in a monastery might take refuge in the monastery so that at some point when the world needs their special skill set or the special skill set of any of us in this meeting today, that we could at that point be available. But I think that's not the truth. I think the right use of power, and each person has their power, has some power. And I think the right use of power is to actualize one's intention. And again, that's another gift of Buddhism, as we bring mindful awareness to you know, who it is that we are and what it is that, what kind of world do we want? And that we realize that that's tied directly to my thoughts, my words, and my actions. And so power in that definition is the capacity to actualize one's intention, the connection to one's heart mind. And in order to start that, we have to know it. So when we take refuge in the Buddha and Dharma and the Sangha, that's our chance to return to our original nature. And for me, that's as a Buddhist humanist. For the Dalai Lama, it's someone whose religion is kindness. And each of you has a thought of what that is for you. And I encourage you to bring mindful awareness to that, to know where your heart is, because I think that becomes really, really, really important. And so I think that there's a prayer that I found that says, "May I welcome today with appreciation and joy. May I welcome today with friendliness and kindness. May I welcome today with generosity and compassion. And may I welcome today with understanding and acceptance." And those pretty much line up with the Brahma Viharas, or the four great virtues, it seems to me. So I think we don't have to worry so much about wishing things to be otherwise or different than they are now, because it's perfectly human and reasonable to know that the world has to change from what it's been in California, for instance, and New Jersey, and wherever else anyone might be. But you know, we know things have to change. And so that's not just about wishing that, but it's about saying, may I greet today with my full heart and my full mind, and may I figure out ways to be kind, first to myself in the midst of all this, and then to each of you and to my family and the people I work with and the students that I teach and the people that teach me. And so can we do that? And then can we find a way to spread that out into the world? And there's lots of things we can do depending on you know, what it is you think and decide. But it seems to me like sitting on the cushion is a beautiful thing. And being an engaged Buddhist is also, you know, a Buddhist humanist is also a very important thing, that we be engaged with the world that we're in. And each of us on this call knows many things that we could do during 2020 to make the world a safer, better place with more racial justice and more equity and peace and ease. And everybody's got their own opinions about what that is and their own capacity to do those things. But I think tying kindness to Buddhism or humanism to Buddhism is an important first step in finding a way to be both spiritually centered and spiritually centered and engaged, because I think nothing in our Buddhist practice was ever designed to allow us to take a step out of the world, but rather to be one with the entire world. So I'll just close with a version of a dedication of merit. This is not it. Carl will do that later if we have a few minutes to chat. But this is a new version that I heard from Joan Halifax and Kaz. Who have rewritten the Heart Sutra in a way that's much more relatable in 2020. And these three say simply, may you be safe, may you be happy, and may your heart be at ease with the truth of your life. May your heart be at ease with the truth of your life. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Stephen. We've got a few minutes to open it up for any comments, questions, or anything.
Oh, we just go into social time.
I really like that last thing you said about may I welcome today with Can you say that again? Such a beautiful little prayer.
Okay. May you be safe. May you be happy. And may your heart be at ease with the truth of your life.
The thing before that, where you were saying, may I welcome today with acceptance and kindness and...
Okay. There we go. May I welcome today with appreciation and joy. May I welcome today with friendliness and kindness. May I welcome today with generosity and compassion. And may I welcome today with understanding and acceptance.
I like that.
Good.
Thank you.
If I was a faster typer, I'd stick that right in the chat for you. That won't be happening. Although I could stick my email address in there, and then you could send me an email if you want, like a copy of that.
Okay, yeah, I think I got the gist of it. It's just such a nice way to start the day, because I've kind of been looking at my thoughts first thing in the morning, and they tend toward the negative. And it's kind of a nice antidote to that.
Well, and I think we have to be really kind to ourselves, because, you know, how could you not, if you're living in California, for instance, in the last 10, you know, we've been spare the air days, now the 28th day in a row. So how could you not wake up feeling a little bit like, and I think, you know, I think being kind to ourselves includes allowing ourselves, you know, to own our feelings, to feel our feelings. And then to remember that the old saying that feelings are not facts, but they're mine and I got them. And so I need to do something with them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Stephen, what was the source of the quote you just read?
The last one?
The aspirations and the all that.
I have to be candid with you that the source might actually be me. But it's from, I found it in a file of Buddhist talks that I keep. And it's written in my handwriting. So I don't know if I was quickly copying it when someone else said it, so I won't take credit for it. But it could be me,
great. Could you email it? Okay, there, I saw you post the email. Could you email it to the Sangha as a whole, you know, and so anybody on that list could get it?
If someone could tell me how to do that, I'd be happy to.
Oh, okay.
Is that, like, if I just hit respond all to one of Trina's emails? Anyway. We'll figure it out. Yes, it can be done. It's the important thing. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone.
Well, this talk is such good medicine because I see the news and I feel all these feelings of deep pain, and I'm crying a lot more. Just from, sometimes it's crying out of joy, seeing the kitten rescued for the fire. Sometimes it's weeping because I hear of people and their animals who've been killed, or my own life, or just all of it. There's like an abundance of suffering these days everywhere. And then, you know, the equanimity holds it so that I know it's going to pass. But it's really, especially needing to stay in and not go out and breathe the air, it's sort of like I'm trying not to just stew in it. So I'm so glad this talk you have given is, it's like a balm. The Dharma is a balm, you know, so. Anyways, I like when you said about it's not a spiritual bypass, you know, none of that, that we are in this united rather than transcending. Although I think transcendence can occur as part of that. You know, we have peak moments of transcendence and then we just shift back to here and we're with it all. But sometimes it's just good to turn off the TV.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's where the being in touch with your heart mind is really so important, because those moments of transcendence are like, okay, we are indeed all in this together. And my, you know, that from that sutra, the Hatsugaman, that, you know, what, you know, I've heard a few people ask the question recently, when someone asks you, what did you do in 2020? What are you going to tell them? you do in the face of 2020? You know, each of us gets to answer that question. And for you know, the Dalai Lama, his answer is going to be kindness. And I think for most of us, our answer would also be kindness. And then hopefully some action of some kind, you know, that we actually reached out to some other human being or some other human beings and offered a little of the Brahma Vihara, some compassion and some joy and so forth. So I think that would be good.
Well, let's all sit together for a minute or two as we close with some metta. So let's sit.